Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
What I want to do this morning is I want to preach on the church, just kind of give you a little summary and good doctrine, and then a shot in the arm right at the end. That's my desire. That's what I want to do. But I'm not exalting the church this morning. I'm exalting the head of the church. His name is Jesus. Understand the New Testament church is God's idea. Understand this is the plan of God for the year in which we live, 2021. Here we are alive, living and breathing. And this world's going crazy. Our country is going crazy. Everything's turning up. 25 years ago, can you imagine people talking about socialism? I can't. We're it's in a good context. Can you imagine 10 years ago, people's one desire is living off the government? Can you imagine that? Things are changing at breakneck speed. And I was reminded how close we are to the second coming of Christ. Because the truth is, 10 years ago, how would the Antichrist be able to control the world? How would he be able to communicate to 7 billion people? Less than that, because we're going to be raptured, right? 7 billion people on the planet. How would he institute a one world government? A one world currency? How would that revived Roman Empire take place? How could it have possibly happened before the telephone, before the television set? How could it possibly happen before computers, before an iPhone? How about before Twitter and before Facebook? Now the world's all connected. Now we know how the world is going to see the two super witnesses outside the temple in Jerusalem proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, now it all makes sense. And here we are in the 21st century, so I start the message and end the message the same way. We don't have a lot of time.
That's right.
In the blink of an eye. Yeah. I guarantee you, in a blink of an eye, it all changes for the Church of Jesus Christ. But let's look at Revelation and chapter 1. Revelation and chapter 1. So the message this morning is let's get right and let's get going. Hey, let's be the church. Let's do what we're supposed to do. The book of Revelation is the unveiling, the manifestation of Jesus Christ. The prophecies of Old Testament scripture, Matthew 24, Matthew 25, the prophecies from the book of Thessalonians, it all kind of is consummated here in the book of Revelation. The apocalypsis means unveiling. It is not the unveiling of St. John. It is the unveiling or the manifestation of Jesus Christ. And this message, chapter 1, the book of Revelation, is written to the church. To the church. This is the church age. It is not the age of grace, although grace is found in the church. Grace will also be here during the tribulation. Grace will always be here, also be here during the millennial kingdom. So technically, theologically speaking, this is the church age. So this message is for us this morning. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which shall shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Let's all stand together for verse 2 and 3 and 4. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. I circled this, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Dear church, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. That's Jesus. And from the seven spirits which are before the throne of God, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, amen, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, he's writing to the church, in his own blood. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. We don't have a lot of time. We do not have a lot of time. I want to say it. I'm going to say it at the end of the message. In a blink, everything's going to change. I'll show you that from the Bible at the end of the message. He said, oh, it's going on like it's always gone. No. In a blink, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And all of a sudden, everything's going to change. Everything will be different. Do not be asleep. Man, not in the day and age in which we live. These perilous days that Paul wrote of, this time of darkness, this paralyzing, creeping darkness and fear that is overtaking our country and the world. This is the way Jesus said it would be just before he comes, and he is going to come in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. That he's going to give the voice of the archangel, and we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Pastor Rader's telling you this, but don't you believe it because Pastor Rader's saying it, because he's been preaching this for a while now. You believe it because Jesus said this way it's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And a lot of the church is going to be caught off guard and not aware. In time that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. This book of Revelation begins and ends with blessing. It's tremendous. And Paul, or rather John, is exiled to the island, this rock island of Patmos in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And there on the Lord's Day, it says in Revelation in chapter 1, God gave him this vision and took him up into the heavenlies, and he saw all the things that are going to come to pass. And the angel told John several times, keep writing, man. Write it down. Don't just soak it in. Write it down. This is a message for the churches. And the devil overplayed. He overreached himself when he put John on Patmos. Because there, and it was all by the design of God, God showed John the things that were, are, and are yet to come. Go to Matthew chapter 16 very quickly. Matthew chapter 16, and you're familiar with this, but I want to read it, make a few comments, and then jump back to the book of Revelation quickly. Verse 17. By the way, isn't church great? Yeah. It's my happy place. I mean that. Things go wrong during the week, but we get to come together in the presence of God. And it's uplifting. It really is. It is strengthening. It's the way it's supposed to be. I don't always hear things I want to hear. You say, well, you're always preaching against sin. Well, I'm just preaching against Tim Rader. I mean, I'm preaching the things that I know Tim Rader needs to hear. That's how God lays things on my heart. And I just kind of let it go where it was. Brother Greg spoke at the teen formal last night, and he preached good. I mean, I was impressed. He's my son-in-law and everything, and he's a sinner like you would not believe, but he preached good. And he preached on sin at a teen formal. He preached on sin. I'm thinking, wow, you know, that was good, Greg. Did I tell you that last night? I don't know if I can. I don't want you to get big head, so I maybe didn't say anything. It was good preaching last night. I'm looking forward to camp. I really am. And the truth is, we need to hear messages on sin because we're sinners. We're saved by grace, but we're still in this world of sin. And I still have my old nature, and it's a battle every step of the way. There's good news, though. God ordained the church, the happy place. Look what it says in Matthew in chapter 16 and verse 16 too. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Simon says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter is Greek for little stone. And Cephas, another nickname he had, was Aramaic for the same thing, little stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, Peter, you didn't get that from inside yourself, did you? You got that right from God. Blessed are you, Peter, for recognizing that I am the Christ. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, little stone. But upon this rock, Petra, he's referring to himself, the Christ. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God has a plan. It's the New Testament local church. It's the year 2021. This is the 21st century. And the hope of this world and this generation is the church of Jesus Christ. We got to get it going in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. We got to do our part in our Jerusalem. I got a text this morning. I knew they were moving into a new building. Faith Baptist Church of Warren, good friend of mine, Tim Berlin, good brother, comes up to old school all the time. I've had him preach here, and just a wonderful brother, and God is blessing them there in Warren, which is Detroit, by the way. He sent me a picture of the first service in the new building last week. This is a fundamentalist church, all right? These are New Testament Christians. They were able to sell their property in Detroit. Now it's Detroit, so we're talking millions of dollars, right? Sold their property, and they were able to buy the campus of Baker College in Detroit. What a building. He showed me an aerial picture of last Sunday morning service. I'm thinking, I texted him back and I said, you better capture Detroit. Man, you better go after it. And I pray for him every Sunday. I pray for him every day. You know, the truth is, and he is one of my good friends, and they're going to get it done in Detroit. We got to get it done in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. We got to honor God. Go back again to Revelation in chapter 1. Revelation in chapter 1. God has a plan. You know verse 8. And at the risk of being redundant of things that I have preached of recent, let me read verse 8 of Revelation and chapter 1. I think that's what I want. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And you heard Jesus saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches that are in Asia. So this is a dear church letter, all right? Unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Jesus is right there in the midst of his churches. The seven golden candlesticks were symbolic of the seven churches in Asia Minor. John is writing this down. He's witnessing this. And the voice that he heard that was as of a trumpet was the Alpha and the Omega, the very Son of God, of the tribe of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And it was Jesus standing right in the midst of his churches. Hold it right there. Christ is in the midst of his church today as well. Any church that will honor him, any church that will preach and teach and live the word of God, do their very best, not in the power of the flesh, but in the spirit to live out scripture, God is right there. Jesus, the head of the church, is right there in the midst. By the way, this is called and referred to in the book of Ephesians as the church of Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus Christ. Verse 14, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, holiness, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand the seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. He was dazzling. I can't think of a better word than that. I mean, it was like it was too bright to look at. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, this is Jesus, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. What's four old men? Forever. I was he that conquered the grave. I was alive on earth, went to the grave, rose again, and I live forevermore. I'm glad this is the church of Jesus Christ. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And when he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things down which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Man. We, as the church of Jesus Christ, get to live for God. Let me summarize quickly, lay a little foundational truth here and what the church is. Anybody with half a brain and a whole heart can see the importance of the church. By the way, you'll never be what God would have you to be if you're a floater. You go somewhere a little while, get mad, and you go somewhere else a little while, and you get mad, and you go somewhere else a little while. And you get mad. You won't have any roots. And you'll carry all of your baggage with you. But the church is not a building, although it's referred to as a building by way of a metaphor. It's referred to a body. It's referred to as the bride of Christ. That is a metaphor. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises, that's what we're supposed to be doing, of him who hath called you out of darkness, that's what he did, into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, that's we were sinners, but are now the people of God. Think about that. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Amen? Amen. That's a yabba-dabba-doo amen. That's what that is. Amen. And it says also here, which had not obtained mercy, didn't know anything about the mercy of God, but now have obtained mercy. There's a yabba-dabba-doo amen right there. That's amen times 3 to the 10th power, however you can emphasize it. That's what we have in Jesus. The body of Christ, we have received the Great Commission, our mandate. Pastor, the church is made up of pastors, and then they have deacons to help them. In the church, there are two ordinances, that is baptism and the Lord's table. In the church, there is Bible preaching, there's the gospel. In the church, there's an altar call, that is Bible surrender. In the church is holiness, that is Bible living. That is a New Testament church that God is going to bless. There's the church universal, that's all those that make up the family of God from the day of Pentecost until the rapture of the church. Never meets here in this earth. Never congregates. Never is together until we get home to heaven. But there's the New Testament local church, and I'm a local church man. I can prove that to you from the Bible. And God raises up local assemblies for the propagation of the gospel, to send out missionaries, to observe the Lord's table, to baptize converts, to pray for the brethren, to have body life. That to praise God, to get together, to congregate. The very word church is the word ecclesia. The very word church, the very word ecclesia speaks of congregating. It speaks of separation, called out assembly. That is the church of Jesus Christ. You can try to color it differently if you want. And if you're not a Bible student, you can come to some wrong conclusions by using cliches as Bible doctrine or music as Bible doctrine. But I challenge you get in the Word of God, you'll become a local church man.
That's right.
You'll become a local church woman. You realize as you mature in grace, you have a dire responsibility to reach this world for Christ, and no man's an island. That's why the church is God's idea, and he brought it together. Who's the church? The saved. That makes up the universal church, the body of Christ that has never met here in this world yet. Who is the church, the local church? The saved and the baptized. Go to Acts in chapter 2 quickly. Acts in chapter 2. This is a message of preparation for the days that are ahead of us this spring and this summer. Look what it says in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. This is the church of Jerusalem. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, ecclesia, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them among to all men as every man hath need. And that is not political communism. That is the family of God taking care of one another. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church that is following Jesus knows the good blessing of God. The family that is plugged into the church and following the mandates of Scripture knows the good hand of God upon their lives. Man, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Don't rebel against God. Don't do that. You don't want to go there, not as a child of God. I know some churches have left the truth and failed because they jumped off the foundation, our only foundation, Jesus Christ. And they become clubs and social gatherings and shopping plazas, shopping malls and coffee outlets and everything else. And I'm not saying any of those things all by themselves are bad, but they cease to become a church and they failed. But don't think the whole church has failed. It hasn't. God always has a remnant. God always has a people, and there will be a remnant when Jesus comes. Go to Revelation in chapter 3. Revelation in chapter 3. I'll summarize a lot of this chapter 2 and chapter 3 until I get to where I want to land here this morning. Don't bail out on God. This COVID thing has been tough on some people, tougher on some than others. And I understand that. Now we all have a different place in life. I understand that. But don't, we were talking about it between church and Sunday school, before Sunday school this morning. Live stream is wonderful. There are probably a couple hundred people before this day is done will view this service. Now, we thank God for you. Thank God for you. In fact, I know there'll be a couple hundred people before this day is through. But live stream is not the same as church. Now, if you're not in the area, you can't come for some reason, live stream is perfect. But nothing like being here. And we all know that. And it's important that you don't remember the church, it's Christ's church. Amen. That's like illustration, without being political, but I'll be accused of being political. There are some bad policemen. I'm sure there are. They're human beings. There's some bad preachers too. Defund the police, that's nuts. That is just nutso. That's all that is. You know, somebody's breaking into my house. I call the police. I don't want a social worker. Man, I want the police, right? So that's nutso. And the same thing is true. So you don't abolish the police because there's some bad apples. You don't quit on the church because there's some churches that have failed God. And it always happens incrementally, by the way. There's that drift. Why is it no one ever drifts right? Always drift left. Why is it when you stop pedaling your bike, you're going uphill, you cease to move in that direction, you end up going in the other, downstream, you're in a boat, you're rowing the boat, you cease to row, all of a sudden you're going with the drift. The drift is always away from God. Why is that? Come back to the truth. Revelation in chapter 2, church at Ephesus, verses 2 through 7. This is the desirable church. That's what the word Ephesus means. But it's a church that lost its heart. It's a church that left its first love. By the way, it is the first century church. They started out like a house of fire. Then in chapter 2 in verses 8 through 11, the church at Smyrna. That means crushed ones. This was the church that experienced great persecution. Then in chapter 2 in verses 12 through 17, the church at Pergamos. That is the church of where the church married to the state or to the government. And by the way, that is the year 312 through about the 600s, right in there. That is referred to as the Dark Ages. That's when the government took over. This I'll be labeled as political for this, but I'll tell you the way it is. Government is not the answer. It never has been the answer. It never will be the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. And that's where it's at. And all of our American values that are right values, you get it right here, right from the book, right from the Word of God. So anyway, the Pergamos, they decided to marry the church. All kinds of compromise went on. Church of Thyatira, verses 18 through 29, that is continual sacrifice. Now they're adding to the gospel. Now they're doing all kinds of little ringing bells and so forth and lighting candles and that kind of thing. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, the church at Sardis. Sardis means escaping ones. That's the time of the Reformation, 1520 through the tribulation. And then we have the church at Philadelphia. Look at chapter 3 and verses 7 through 13. This is where we want to be. This is where we want to live. I'll just read it very quickly. I'm not going to wax eloquent on it. I'm going to close up with the church at Laodicea. Let me just do that right now. Laodicea means people rule. So in other words, this is my church. It's going to be my way. Let's take a vote on it. Do we want to follow this? Do we want to follow the Word of God on this or not follow the Word? Let's vote. It's people rule. It's a church. This is a democracy. It's people having itching ears. Jesus said, that's the way it's going to be in the last days. And they think they're rich and they're poor as paupers. They actually have money, but they don't have the power of God. We do not want to be there. That's the church that Christ had nothing good to say about. That is the church that is operating just before Jesus comes. But there's another church operating before Jesus comes and when he comes, and that's the Philadelphia church, the church of brotherly love. That's where we want to plant our flag. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verses 7 through 13. Let me just read. And the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, that's Jesus. He that is true, that's Jesus. He that hath the key of David, that's Jesus. And he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. He's talking about the Great Commission. He's talking about an evangelistic church, a mission-minded church, a church that has an altar call, a church that's reaching out 7 days a week trying to win people to Christ. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. By the way, he has nothing negative to say about the Philadelphia church. Now, I know this church is made up of sinners. I know the Philadelphia church are people that are sinners saved by grace, so you know they got problems. But he doesn't condemn them because their feet are pointed in the right direction. Their eyes are upon Jesus. They're a working class church. They're doing their best to get the gospel out. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No one can deny. We got an open door. And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. We don't have a lot of strength in ourselves. And hast kept my word. That's it. That's it. The word for up there, for thou hast little strength, is because. That's the word because. Because thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name, I'll open the door. It's wide open. You're doing your best to follow me. You're holding to the word of God. You're holding out with both hands to the word of God. Man, I love the King James Bible because I'm a textus receptus man. I love the word of God. It is tried and proven, and I'm going to hold to it. I know it works. I know God has blessed it, and God has promised to bless it. He says to the Philadelphia church, and you apply it to you and me. We're English-speaking people, so I refer to the King James Bible, all right? But he says, listen, you've held to the word of God. You're biblicists. You haven't put up with false doctrine in your number. He alludes to that as well. And because you're doing your best to reach the world, and just before I come, I'm going to hold that door open for you. More and more sinners are going to come to Christ. More and more people are going to be funneled your way because I'm holding the door open. Those other churches just might well nail their door shut, but I'm holding the door open because you're holding to the word of God. The church age is a wonderful time to be alive. Just before Jesus comes, wonderful time to be alive. You say, well, when will it end? The blink of an eye. The sound of the last trump. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's the Philadelphia church. Raptured from this, and the blink of an eye. Paul said to the church of Corinth, twinkling of an eye. General Electric, I remember this from way back in the 70s when I looked it up. Twinkling of an eye. They actually measured it. General Electric did. That's 11 one-hundredths of a second. That's quicker than that. 11 one-hundredths of a second, we're changed. 11 one-hundredths of a second, we're raptured off of this world. When will it end? The rapture. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Let me just say this in closing. I don't know this. No man knows the day or the hour. I'm not preaching false doctrine. I'm just supposing so that we'll wake up just a little bit. Say God sent us a message last night. Say there was another verse in the Bible we never saw before, and there it is. And it says, Jesus is going to return at 12:15. What's the date today? May the 2nd? It's the month of May. 12:15, the month of May, the second day of May in the year 2021. And in a blink of an eye, everything's going to change. Man, would your life be different? Would you run to the altar right now? Would you run and start talking to some of your kids right now and telling them about Jesus? Man, would you do the best you can to get clean before God, before the rapture takes place? Man, you know you would. But Jesus knew that's how we were built. That's why he said, it's not for you to know. No man knows the day or the hour. If they'd have known that Jesus wasn't going to come until 2021, that first century church wouldn't have been so on fire. The church in the 1800s wouldn't have been so on fire. Man, I got a lot of time. I got a lot of time. So Jesus said, in an hour that you know not, the Son of Man cometh. When's it going to end? In the blink of an eye. We'll hear 1 second, and with the Lord the next. In the blink of an eye. Bang!
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.